Welcome to Daisy Dialogues. I am Jackie and I am joined here with my sister today, Suzanne.
Hello. So this episode is called Bring On The Paperwork.
Yeah, Bring On The Paperwork. So during this episode, we discuss how green we were, as in Suzanne and I, when we had to deal with this, the different types of paperwork that can so trip you up, and the benefit of the Tell Us One service. This is my absolute all-time favourite subject.
Really?
I love paperwork.
Oh my goodness me.
That's why I like probate, because I'm weirdly passionate about paperwork.
Oh my gosh. That's the gene I didn't get, was the weirdly passionate about paperwork. So we'll start at the beginning again, because obviously different paperworks, is that a word?
Yep.
Different types of paperwork come in at different times with different people. So we're starting sort of our timeline again, being really green with Dad. And I wasn't really aware of any paperwork then.
Dad had bank accounts.
Right.
Dad had shares.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, not many. But okay. He had them. Dad had a limited company that he formed in his crazy phase. Dad was a self-assessor because he did extra work. And had, I think he had a pension. Yeah, he had a pension coming through from his job. There were various things that Dad had that obviously wasn't my profession at the time.
He had a will.
He had a will. Yes. We didn't look at that until Mum died. We didn't need to do probate with Dad, but there were things that needed winding up. Again, his royalties from Carlin. That we have literally done as they presented years down the line, and we're still dealing with Carlin now.
So how do you go about finding out what someone has when you've got no starting reference point?
If you've got absolutely no starting reference point, you can do an asset search on somebody. It does cost money, but they will literally go through all of the legal platforms, all of the financial platforms, all of the share platforms, and they will come and give you a full report of what he did have, what he has got, and what's still open and what's not.
So who is they? Who do you go to?
Right, you need to go to a professional that can offer probate services, or you need to Google asset search people, and then you get in touch with them, they give you a form to fill in, they fleece you for as much as they possibly can, and then they go and do the job.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. That's what they do, isn't it?
Death is an expensive time.
Being ill is an expensive time.
Yeah.
But that's another topic. So there's lots of... So who's allowed to do and deal with that type of paperwork?
You can do probate yourself as a layperson. It's not advised. The more convoluted an estate, the more mistakes you can make. And again, the more expensive that gets. So I would always advise using a professional, whether that is a solicitor, whether that is a bank, whether that is somebody like us who is licensed to do it through the accountancy route. But somebody that is professional and licensed and knows the pitfalls is always somebody to have in your corner and do it. You will pay for it, but it is an expense that's quite often worth doing, because they also know where you can be tax efficient and what allowances you can get on an estate. And they are well versed with the volume of paperwork that you need to do. And that's something most people aren't in a position to even tackle at the point they need to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole emotional thing comes in again. So obviously, if someone does have a will and they are a named executor and they have their full capacity, mental capacity to be able to tackle all this paperwork, what if someone doesn't? Are you saying that anyone can just apply? What if someone doesn't have a will?
If they don't have a will, then it becomes an intestate estate, but probate is still, depending on the size of the estate, something that you may need. And obviously it depends on what assets there are that you are aware of, and what assets there aren't that you might have to find out about as to whether you have to go down that probate route. But if it's an intestate estate, then you're looking at somebody to take a grant of probate as an administrator, whereas a will direct an executor.
So obviously I was out slightly younger and therefore out of the loop. Was there anything in particular that you had to do to support Mum with the paperwork? I just wondered, was there anything in particular that you did with her? So you're going from spouse to spouse, basically.
Right, so when Dad died, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I wasn't a professional at that point.
No,
15, 16 years ago, I didn't have a clue. And mistakes were made
but
that
I know
we're
that
discovering
you...
now. But yes, I did. I helped her with everything. I got the bank accounts changed from his name to her name to joint names. The things we knew about, we dealt with. And yeah, I helped Mum with everything. But as a spouse, it's much easier because there is no inheritance tax between spouses. So everything just sort of moves sideways, apart from the fact that Dad had a will, so that's what he wanted. If he had died intestate, that would have been a different story with the house and the bank accounts.
And also, would it have been a different story if there's two people living together that maybe aren't married?
Yes, absolutely. If there's no will, then intestacy is between spouses and children. So perhaps the person that's living with them was dependent on them and they'd have a case through the Independent of Families Act. But generally, if there's no will and you're just living with somebody, there's no direct entitlement under an intestate estate.
And then it gets complicated again at a time when emotionally you're really not in the place to deal with it.
Yeah, and if this person has any sort of wealth, then there is likely to be inheritance tax to pay. And that has to be done 6 months maximum after somebody dies.
Yeah, I know.
And it takes so long.
That's also the same. I know from personal experience that it's the same in Spain as a foreign country. There's certain levels of paperwork, official paperwork, that has to be dealt with within 6 months. And again, going back to that whole, it's complicated enough when you're not informed and knowledgeable about the processes. It's complicated enough to deal with it even when you do, and then it's addedly more complicated when you've got the additional burden, and not even burden, but when you're going through an awful lot of emotional stress and difficulty at the time.
So if you're dealing with emotional stress, you're dealing with the passing of a loved one, you're dealing with trying to deal with their estate, if you're not a professional, the scope for making errors is huge and can be very costly.
And if you're not a professional or not adversed in any of these things, you can equally go to people that you're not going to know if they're really going to be the right person for you, and like you say, can often charge you an arm and leg because they know the position that you're in.
So yeah, it's a scary time. So for me professionally, bring on the paperwork is an exciting thing. But for people that are on the other side of it, trying to work out who to trust and who not to trust and whether to trust anyone or try and do it themselves, it's a very scary time.
Yeah, likewise. I'm on the end of doing seeing the wills that we've created and stuff like that. But I'm also on the end of the emotional impact that it has when I work with clients. And it's a challenging, challenging time. So what other kind of things, help to deal with the paperwork?
Okay, so there is a really good service the government's brought in when you register a death. At the time you register a death, they will give you a code to register with the Tell Us Once service. What that does when you register it, and having done it recently, it's been really eye-opening to me, but it will notify all the government departments that you've passed on. So it will deal with things like passports, driving licence, logbooks for cars, insurance. Obviously, you have to have a lot of this information to be able to give it to the Tell Us Once service for them to run away and do that. National Insurance Number will deal with all the government agencies and the Department of Work and Pensions, the self-assessment. But if you want it to deal with some of the wider stuff like insurance and banks and stuff like that, you need to have that information to be able to give it to the Tell Us Once service. And then they literally tell those places once and then they start contacting you. So it does actually take a lot of the legwork out of stuff for just putting in a membership number or bank number. But
Does that cost anything? It doesn't cost anything, that service, does it? So it's something free. They should offer you automatically when you go to register.
They absolutely do, and they advocate that you use it, and I advocate that you use it, because it does take a lot of the legwork out of you finding telephone numbers to phone, letters, forms to write and stuff like that. So they will contact you. They do the legwork.
Again, you talking about all the paperwork, the actual official paperwork and the things that people have to deal with after somebody dies. Again, having those conversations before they die, for those that can, because obviously it depends who the person is that's left to deal with it. But if they have so generously written down something and put it somewhere, or created a letter of wishes where some of this information is, it just helps with the process so much more to get going.
Absolutely.
So it goes without saying, Jackie in particular loves paperwork. So, but also the emotional side and all the impact that has while you're doing paperwork, we're here for you. If you've got any questions whatsoever about the legal stuff, the paperwork, taxes, then absolutely feel free to contact us.
We are sharing people's memories and questions to their loved ones.
So I've got a really long one here. This is so many things. The list is possibly near endless. From their childhood to the lessons they learn in life, to their favourite food or favourite colour, or happiest and crappiest memories of me as a child and so far beyond. The messed up part about it is just like you said, these are things that aren't easy to ask someone alive. Not sure why, but I was thinking about it after my dad passed, that I should ask my mum, who is still alive, all of these similar questions, but I still haven't asked her, and I don't know if I will. Not sure if it's because I know she's still grieving for my dad's death, or what. I need somehow to find the courage to ask her and still have the chance. So that's got to be a story that I should think a lot of people have had. The idea that I've learned a little bit, I've learned a little bit from the experience I've just had, so I really should be thinking about asking this to the remaining parent or the remaining sibling or whatever. But there's something that just holds people back. And I think the idea that grief would hold you back is just a block that you have, because when someone is grieving, there are times during a grieving process where you want to talk about it because it's so weird and difficult and strange. So it doesn't, in some ways, it's almost like it can be an opportunity to actually broach the subject because they're already adverse in it. What do you think?
I'm going to be a little bit more targeted on my advice with this one. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not waffle. Let's just get on and do it.